La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma rabbu hadhihi ad-da'watu tamma wa salatu al-qa'ima. Ati Muhammad al-fadilata wa wasilata. وبعث مقام محمود كما وعد انك لا تخلف الميعاد فان الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون وقال سيدنا مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أصدق حديث كتاب الله وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى كنتم خير أمة أخرج للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. Our brothers and sisters, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, far above what many people ascribe to Allah. Allah is above many of the things that people attribute to Him. We know He doesn't have any partners. We know He doesn't have any son. We even know that, but even amongst the Muslims, Allah is above what a lot of people even think about Him. He's above. Ta'ala Allah. You know, He's above pettiness. You know, He's above transgression. He's above nitpicking. He's above that. He's a glorious Lord. And His Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, was always above the petty nature in things. You know, people shouldn't be petty, and they shouldn't be petty about the religion. You know, Islam is a principled religion. You know, we have qawa'id, we have laws and rules and foundations, but largely what Islam is made up of is principles. The principles are exemplified in the sharia, in the law. But each law has a principle. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have to really understand how the Prophet spoke. But before that, I want to remind myself and remind everybody else to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says in the Quran, "O you believe it, taqallaha haqqa taqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun." Have taqwa of Allah to the degree that's warranted, and don't die unless you die in a state of submission. But after that, I want to direct you to the teaching methodology of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because this is what people have to really concern yourself with. Don't concern yourself as much these days to the words of the scholars. And I'm not saying that anybody should disregard scholars or scholarship. But concern yourself more with the words of the Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be He exalted and glorified, and the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the words of the Prophet himself, because the Prophet was sent to everyone. You may read something that this scholar says about this or this matter, and it may have very little relevance to your life. He may not even know who you are, know your place, know where you came from, know nothing about you, but he's issuing something general, and maybe some benefit, it may not be some benefit in it. Inshallah, it's benefiting most of it. But when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it comes to the Prophet, everything that he said had benefit in it for people. Every statement. He didn't say things of religion just to make himself heard. He didn't say it to be petty. He didn't say it singling out this people over other people. He spoke in a very comprehensive way. In the hadith of Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inni utitu jawami' al-kalim. He says, I was given the ability to speak comprehensively. Now, there is a lot of different things in the way that the Prophet spoke, alayhi salatu wa sallam, in his methodology. I want to explain one methodology, and then I want to explain to you how he acted that out. One of the methodology of the Prophet is that when he spoke, he would deal with multiple issues at the same time, connecting one to another. He frequently spoke in that way. If he gave advice or he said to do this and do this, he would put them together. I want you to do this and this and this and this, as if to tie them together so that you produce a certain personality. Because Islam is not about just doing one thing, doing this, doing... No, it's about a lifestyle. And in order to teach somebody a lifestyle, you have to put things in succession. For example, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ for advice, and the Prophet said, اِتَّقَ اللَّهَ حَيْثَمَا كُنْتِ وَاتَّبِعَ السَّيِّدَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمُوهَا وَخَلِقَ النَّاسَ بِخُلِقَ حَسَنَ. A man came, he gave him three things. اِتَّقَ اللَّهَ حَيْثَمَا كُنْتِ, fear Allah no matter where you are, right? Number one. وَاتَّبِعَ السَّيِّدَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمُوهَا, and follow every bad deed with a good deed because it will wipe it out. وَخَلِقَ النَّاسَ بِخُلِقٍ حَسَنٍ, and deal with people using good character. So he put it all together. Okay, I have taqwa, follow the bad deed with the good deed, and the good. So that person is getting a collection of guidance in one shot. The people came and asked him about the Bahar. They came and asked him about the sea. Ya Rasulullah, we go out on the water and we take with us a little bit of water to drink. If we make wudu with that water, we're going to go thirsty. What do we do? He said, Al-Bahru tahur ma'uhu hillul maytata. He says, as far as the sea is concerned, its water is pure and purifying. So don't worry about that. And the dead fish you find, you see, they didn't ask him about the dead fish. They only asked about the water. But he said, and the dead fish you find, because if they go out on the water, they're going to find dead fish, you can eat that too. And that's the way the Prophet taught. That's how he taught. When he said, Haqq al-Muslim ala Muslim sit. The right of one Muslim on the other Muslim is six things. إِذَا لَقِيْتُهُ فَصَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. If you meet him, give him salams. وَإِذَا عَطَسَ وَحَمِدَ اللَّهِ فَشَمِّتْهُ. If he sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, then say Yarhamakallah. If he asks you for advice, give him advice. If he gets sick, bid him. And so on. That's how he would speak. So one hadith caught my attention. And I wanted, in the short time we have, explain this hadith. Not even really explain the hadith, but I want to share the hadith with you. Inshallah ta'ala. Now this hadith was collected by a very famous scholar of hadith, Muhammad Ibn Ubayd Ibn Sufyan Ibn Abi Dunya. What I like about Ibn Abi Dunya, the same thing I like about Hassan al-Basri, same thing I like about Dahaq, the same thing I like about Masruq Ibn al-Ajda. And they were scholars of the early period of Islam, but they were all slaves. All of them were slaves. They had once upon a time had been slaves, like somebody's slave, buying and selling slave. And they were freed and went on to become great scholars. Like Hassan al-Basri, he was a free slave. That's why I was believing people, you know, don't look at the slavery past. You have to look at, you have to really free yourself. The best way a person can free themselves is holding fast to Kitab and Sunnah and be willing to put anybody else's, I don't care who he is, statement to the side for the statement of Rasulullah. Yeah, okay, you said, what you name? Okay, well, the Prophet said this, so what you got? All right, well, I'm sorry. That's real freedom. Then you're free just to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by himself. But Ibn Abi Dunya, this hadith, and it's an authentic hadith, beautiful hadith, but it's a relatively long hadith, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam didn't usually speak too long. Some hadith were a little longer. Most hadith were just a couple sentences. But some were a little longer. But in the length of the hadith, he portrayed what should be the Muslim character trait, the behavioral matrix of a Muslim in general terms. And he started off, because the Prophet was very clever in the way he talked, he linked the actions in the beginning of the hadith. I want you to notice this when I read you this hadith. He linked the actions in the beginning of the hadith to Allah's love. See, that's just masterful teaching. Because he links it, okay, listen, we know we love Allah, so he links it to Allah's love. And in the hadith, he said, أَحَبَّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْفَعْهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. He started off by saying, and look how general this is. So it's not for you. No, let me tell you in general, أَحَبَّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْفَعْهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. He said the most beloved people to Allah are people who are most beneficial to other people. The most beloved people to Allah are people who are most beneficial to other people. So even if a person doesn't get a whole bunch of ilm, he's still sitting out of his house thinking, how can I benefit somebody? How can I help you, sir? How can I help you, man? What are you, changing your tire? Can I help? Can I help you do that? Would it benefit you if I help you change your tire? Or you're begging? But would it benefit you if I brought you a meal? Would that benefit you? Because I'm thinking of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah loving me. And see how general it is? There's no fiqh on that. It's hard for people will come by and say, well, you know, brother, you got to ask the brother first if he's a believer. Yeah, you got those people. You have the extremist Muslim who just bent on making his deen hard. Some people just got to be hard. But actually, that's not the way the Prophet taught. See how general? Then he said, so he started off, see, you got to really see the the genius of Rasulullah. Not just the genius of Rasulullah, but you can tell, like when Allah says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He's not speaking on his own accord. What he's speaking is the inspiration inspired to him. And you can see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to deliver the message in such a way that anybody can understand it. And they don't even really need to depend on somebody always to translate it and break it down for them and throw them away. Because he started off, حَبَّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. He didn't even say أحب المسلم إلى الله. Do you hear what he's saying? He said أحب الناس إلى الله أنفعهم للناس. The most beloved people. So even if a Muslim, like some Muslims say, well, you know, Allah only loves Muslims, he don't love nothing else. Hate the kafir. It portrays Allah as the Lord of everybody. Going off from the beginning, it tells you that there are other people that Allah can't love besides you. Because Allah don't play favorites like that. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. That's what people have to remember. Muslims have to remember that too. We think we own Allah. He's all ours. No, he's not. Everything is his. He got it mixed up around. We think we own Islam. We don't even own Islam. Islam is belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can only get up to Islam what you submit to. That's yours. The part of Islam that you haven't submitted to yet, it ain't even yours. You can only borrow some of the Islam for yourself if you submit. Oh Allah, I want this part of Islam. Well, submit then. Alright, what you got? I want this problem like this, but it ain't all yours then. You see how the Prophet is teaching us that. But then he said, "Unfa'am than us." The one who's more beloved to Allah is the one who's most beneficial to other people. He didn't even say other Muslims. He could have said other Muslims. And even this hadith, look how the Prophet pivoted. Read this on the first line of the hadith of Rasulullah, and there's so much guidance in there, we can write four or five different masatin on this particular that sentence alone. We can do four or five daras in this masjid just on this first line. But then he says, Wa ahab al a'mal ila Allah azza wa jal. He says, and the most beloved deed to Allah Azza wa Jal, sururun turkhiluhu ala Muslim, is happiness. And watch out, the Prophet, I mean, he's just an awesome Prophet, man. The teaching, the quality of prophetic teaching is so high. It's just, it blows your mind. Because he pivots from the nas, he goes, most beloved people, then he goes, most beloved deeds. And this shows Allah's proclivity and the speciality of the Muslim to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who submit to Allah. Allah is that has a special place. It's above the people. He's the Lord of the people, but his people are the believers. And they're deep. All people belong to Allah, but his people are the believers, are the Muslims. He said the most beloved deed to Allah is sururun turkhiluhu ala al-Muslim, is happiness that you inject or you place in the life of another Muslim. That's smooth. That's just too smooth, man. The most beloved deed is a happiness, something you can do for another Muslim that brings some happiness and joy into their life after people tell us we can't even have no joy except 2 days of the year. Yeah, but tap. Okay, I'm not even gonna go there. I'm just gonna stick to what the Prophet said. But then he didn't stop there, because he's trying to teach us a way of thinking, a way of life. He's not stopping on just one thing. He says happiness that you can place in the life of a Muslim is one of the most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then he said, out. Or tukshif anhu karbatan. Or, because he's showing the flexibility of the Salat al-Mustaqim. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, Ahlul ilmi, Ahlul wusa. The people of knowledge are the people of flexibility and latitude. Brothers and sisters, there's latitude in the way you can practice your religion and still be righteous. That's why I don't like when people come and try to make things all constrained and difficult on a believer. No, you can only bow this one right little hole right here. And look what the Prophet is saying. He says, or removing a worry from him, meaning the Muslim. Most beloved deeds, either entering upon him some happiness. So it's like you say, oh, you can't do that? That's difficult? Gotcha. Or remove a worry from him. But he didn't stop there. He said, oh, tukdi anhu dayna. He said, or take care of his debt. You want to do, so the Prophet is like saying, look, y'all want to do something that's beloved to Allah? Let me break down some things right now without little fanfare that you can do as a believer. And if you do these things, these actions are considered to be the most beloved actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, or you can dispatch on him his debt. Can't do that? Okay. He says, ow, tudrid anhu jaw'an. Or you can remove his hunger. He's just showing different ways for Muslims to cooperate. Then, this is how smooth Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in his teaching methodology. This is how smooth he is. He starts with the people, then he directs to the believers, most beloved actions, then he pulls it back in a personal level for himself. For him personally. He said, وَلِي أَنْ أَمْشِي مَعَ أَخِي الْمُسْلِمْ فِي حَاجَةٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَعْتَكِفَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ شَهْرًا. He said, for me, I would rather walk with my brother, Muslim, taking care of his need. That's more beloved to me than doing i'tikaf in the masjid for a whole month straight. So he's taking the action. He's saying, listen, the things that Allah loves are active things that involve society, that involve people, that involve you sacrificing something of yourself. Because if you're going to go with your brother, brother, what's the problem? Man, I'm having so-and-so problem. You know, my plumbing going on at the house, all jacked up, blah, 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 blah. Well, let's go take care of that. Let's go take care of that problem. Well, you know, first I got to go home and get my... Okay, well, let's go. Let's get going. You know, I got to stop picking up my son from school. Right? Okay, well, that's part of the program. I'm already prepared to do that. Because the Prophet loved that I do this more than were he to make i'tikaf in the masjid for a whole month. See, the Prophet got you thinking like that. He has you thinking about who? A bigger picture. Right? But then he wasn't finished there. He turned it back. I mean, this is just fantastic hadith. Everybody should just teach this hadith to your kids. From the giddy-go. Listen, kids, we're going to just learn this one hadith. Not only this one, but... Because he said, وَمَنْ كَفَّ غَرَبَ سَتَّرُ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَ. Because after he said, well, he would rather do this than spend a month in the masjid, mu'takif, then he redirects the conversation again back to the believer's own self-interest. Like, Ya Rasulullah, you blow up my mind. He said, because whoever withholds his anger, مَنْ كَفَّ غَضَبَ سَتَّرُ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَ. He says, whoever covers his anger, holds back his anger, Allah will cover your faults. Like, whoa. That gives a person incentive when they're angry. You say, you know what? Let me hold that back. And you still see that this, because the Prophet was an Arab and he spoke fil lughat al-arabiyya and he spoke in classical, his original tongue was Bani Tamim that he spoke in, but he knew all the lahjat of the Arab. But when the Prophet still spoke, he spoke in Fusha, so the way he put his words, it would still display the grammatical meaning and understanding of what he's saying based on the construction of the sentence. Because look what he's saying. وَمَنْ كَفَّ غَضَبَ سَتَّرُ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَ. In Arabic, that type of jumla sentence is called jumlatu shartiya. It's a conditional sentence. Because the man, whomever here, it's a damir, it's a pronoun, but it's also what's called shart. It's a condition. And when he says sattarallahu awrata, that's called jawab al-shart. It's a condition and a response to the condition, meaning that if you do the one condition, the response to the condition is automatic. So it means that whomever holds back his anger, Allah covering a fault of his, is automatically going to happen for him. And that's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because I'm telling you, you got to look at the language of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he's saying, that's why he didn't say awrat. Allah covers his fault. He just picked one. Aura. If you hold back your anger, Allah covers a fault. Meaning, he'll cover one fault. At least. Because you're not going to get angry this one time. He ain't saying if you hold back your anger, he'll cover all your faults. Well, what? Well, I held back this time, so the fault. No. That's deep. There's about four or five different masail and just in that sentence. But he wasn't done. Because then he got into people who like to argue and dispute. And he said, وَمَنْ كَظَمَ غَيْظًا وَلَوْ شَاءَ أَنْ يُمْدِي أَمْدَاهُ مَلَأَهُ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ رِدًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He says, whoever withholds from, like calls me al-ghayz, like Allah mentions in the Quran, will call me al-ghayz, will afina an al-nas, wallahu yuhibbu al-muhsineen. That's somebody, you know what, I can make glory with you. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. I might even be right, but I don't want to dispute. Now, I'm going to let that go. Matter of fact, it's all right. That's like, for example, you pull up to a parking space, right? You was on your space in the Target parking lot. That was your joint. Dude came out, you get ready to pull in. But another dude come from the other side, you waiting for this dude to pull out and everything, patient. Alhamdulillah, bismillah. I got that, honey, we got this right here. Okay. Before you know it, this dude come on the other side, zoom. He took your jaw. Took it. What? No, he didn't. So you could confront it and be a man and say, hey man, that was my space. Did you see my turn signal on me? And he didn't use his turn signal. He tried that, he was gonna go past you. And you can pursue that, but you don't. You say, I'm gonna let that go. And guess what, it's all right. And when you see the dude in the store, you're not looking at him sideways. Hey, how you doing, man? Okay, I'm doing great, how's it going again? That's called ihsan. Well, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, whoever does that, and if he wants to let it go, he just lets it go. Well, what happens if you do that? He says, Allah will fill his heart with satisfaction on the day of judgment. See that? See how? And he wasn't finished. He took it back because remember he mentioned himself? But then he mentioned the same thing, but he turned it back on the people. وَمَنْ مَشَى مَعَ أَخِيهِ مُسْلِمْ فِي حَاجَتِهِ حَتَّى يُثْبِتَهَا لَهُ أَثْبَتُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى قَدَمُهُ يَوْمَ تَزِلُّ الْأَقْدَامُ. He says that whoever goes with his brother Muslim, walks with his brother Muslim to fulfill a need, because he mentioned about fulfilling a need before, but then, because the way the Prophet talked is he'll say something one time, and he'll get the understanding, and he'll come back on the other side and complete the understanding for those who didn't get it the first time. I swear by Allah, that is how the Prophet spoke. So many hadith, he mentioned this, and they're, oh, okay. Those who got it. All right. So I'm like, what are you saying? Then he come back around the other side, who went a little bit further, just so those who didn't get it the first time, they catch it on the back end. That's how deep the Rasulullah was in the speech, and that's why he was the messenger, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him. That's why he was chosen. He didn't pick him out of a barrel. He picked the Prophet specifically because of this ability and because he was trustworthy to deliver the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, whoever walks with his brother Muslim to take care of his need and stays with him until he's finished, until it's completed, until he secures it for him. Like, okay, it's not, you're done. Okay, well, I'm going to stay with you until everything is done. Let me know when you got it, it's done, and man, it's handled, then I'm going to go. Other than that, I'm right here, bro. That person. He says, if he does that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to secure his feet on the day when the feet will be shaken. And that day is Yom Kippur. Right? And he wasn't finished. The last thing he said, وَأَنَّ سُوءَ الْخَلْقِ. Because after he said all that in the hadith, he's summarizing it. The summary. This is how the prophet spoke. That's how he talked. He summarized it by saying, وَأَنَّ سُوءَ الْخَلْقِ لِيُفْسِدَ الْعَمَلِ كَمَا يُفْسِدُ الْخَلْقِ الْعَصَلِ. He said, bad character will ruin your deeds. It will corrupt your actions just like vinegar corrupts honey. He said, your bad character, even what you're doing is good, but the bad character you're bringing with it, it's like pouring vinegar and honey. He said, I could taste some honey, but what's the other stuff in there? That's what happens when you have bad character, even though what you're saying is right and what you're doing is right, but because the character that you're showing, that you're bringing to the people, is bad character. So they're like, okay, I know that's a hadith, brother. I know what you're saying is right, but did you guys say it like that? أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب واستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Our brothers and sisters, again, my advice is all to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, oh, you believe, اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منا والأموات وألف بين قلوبهم واجعل في قلوبهم الإيمان والحكمة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. ونصلي ونسلم ونبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل وإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله عظيما يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيم الصلاة ورحمكم.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن